WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And forget the immigrants here illegally for a minute. Forget the ones bringing crime, drugs, the rapists, the ones who are always first on President Trump's lips. You'd think criminal aliens are the only ones they're concerned about, right? But after the El Paso massacre, targeting all Latinx people as if they were invaders, the Trump administration has taken two high-profile moves to take people here peacefully or illegally and send them back. You know about the biggest workplace raid of the whole Trump presidency last week in Mississippi, just after El Paso. 680 workers believed to be undocumented swept up while doing their jobs, nothing done to the employers, who are now advertising to fill the vacancies. But even that was against people not here legally, even if contributing to society. The policy announced yesterday is a crackdown on legal immigrants and those seeking to come here legally. You know the inscription on the Statue of Liberty that says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free"? Well, the Trump administration has been trying to reduce the numbers of those legal categories. There's the reduction in refugees since Trump took office, down to about 20,000 last year compared to around 80,000 in 2016. Huddled masses yearning to breathe free, check. I'm sure that if the administration could figure out which immigrants are tired, they probably would and send them back. Imagine people who've come here legally, rounded up for sleep deprivation studies. Those found to be tired, not enough merit, send them back. But they haven't figured out how to do that yet. Maybe I shouldn't give them any ideas. But that leaves, give me your poor. Well, not anymore, according to the new rules announced by the government yesterday.
Through the public charge rule, President Trump's administration is reinforcing ideals of self-sufficiency and personal responsibility, ensuring that immigrants are able to support themselves and become successful here in America.
That's the acting director of the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, Ken Cuccinelli. But what about the Statue of Liberty?
I'm certainly not prepared to take anything down off the Statue of Liberty. We have a long history of being one of the most welcoming nations in the world on a lot of bases, whether you be an asylee, whether you be coming here to join your family or immigrating yourself.
But about to become less so. They'll make it harder for people here legally to get a green card or permanent residency status if they've ever used public benefits like food stamps, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, or housing vouchers. And people applying to be immigrants will also be scrutinized more closely now for even their risk of using legal public benefits if they do come. We should note, however, that some legal immigrants are exempt from the new rules. Refugees are exempt, asylum seekers are exempt, and from what I read, those who have served as immigrants in the military. Yes, you can risk your life for America without a green card. Did you know that? New York State Attorney General Letitia James has already announced she will take the Trump administration to court to block the new rules, which are currently set to take effect in October. So let's talk about what happens now and what might happen then with two New York City officials in charge of things like that. Here we have the city's Immigrant Affairs Commissioner, Bita Mustafi, and we have the city's Human Resources Administration Commissioner, Stephen Banks. The HRA administers various anti-poverty benefit programs. Commissioners, thanks so much for joining us today. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us in this difficult time.
And listeners, we'd like to invite calls from anyone who is or has ever been in this position. Are you a legal immigrant using food stamps or Medicaid or housing subsidies or anything else like that? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's put a human face, a human voice on this story. We invite you to call and tell us your story. And if you would like to argue the policy, tell people not in your position why you think that you should get their tax dollars as someone who moved here voluntarily. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, commissioners, for whoever knows these stats, if you do, how many New Yorkers would you say are currently in this group? Immigrants here legally, no green card yet, that is not cleared for permanent residency, and receiving any of these kinds of public benefits.
So I think what's important to note and what is completely false in terms of the rhetoric of what the Trump administration is using here is that, by and large, individuals who are here who are undocumented are not eligible for the kinds of benefits or relief that they're seeking to target here. And in fact, we saw welfare reform take place in the 90s, and we know that at that time, you might not agree with this, many of us don't agree with this, but it was very stringently defined who could receive those benefits, and excluded were people who were not lawfully residing here.
So your first answer is really to emphasize the distinction that I was making in the introduction, that this topic only pertains to people here legally, not undocumented.
As it relates to benefits utilization, yes. And those who are lawfully residing, those who are U.S. citizens, those who are legal permanent residents, that's where we're most concerned in terms of the impact, in terms of the chilling. In fact, in the late 90s, after welfare reform, you actually saw a public health crisis. You saw people who were perfectly eligible for these benefits choosing to withdraw, choosing to disenroll, and that led to what had been the current practice, which is let's create a bright line to ensure that those who are eligible receive the benefits they need so that you and I can all be healthy, that our kids in schools can all be healthy, making sure everybody has access to what they're entitled to.
All right. So the undocumented are excluded from this. How many current immigrants, I'll repeat the question, who are here legally, but no green card yet, are receiving any of these kinds of public benefits?
So let's look at food stamps. There's 1.6 million New Yorkers receive food stamps in New York City. That's about 20% of the population. About 200,000 New Yorkers are legally here, non-citizens, totally entitled to receive federal food stamps. And I think you highlighted this. The part of the pernicious impact is the fear that people who are lawfully present, able to receive the benefits, will disenroll in benefits they need to put, for example, food on the table of their families. And we've already seen that. Let me give you some detail and context of the chilling effect of this. So since the Trump administration began to sort of beat this drum of anti-immigrant fervor in 2017, we have seen disenrollment by eligible non-citizens. As you know, when you had me on talking about this, our administration put a lot of effort into outreach to increase the numbers of people receiving food stamps. And so from 2016 to 2017, we saw a 1.1% increase in non-citizens receiving food stamps who were legally under federal law entitled to get them, and a 1.2% increase in citizens. So roughly the same, right? Flip ahead to 2018 to 2019, a 10.9% decrease in non-citizens and a 2.8% decrease for citizens. Clearly a different reduction.
A much bigger increase among immigrants. So people are being dissuaded. People are being intimidated.
Because of fear.
Fearing that just this kind of rule will take effect. But I'm going to ask the question again. How many people is that in that category who are getting benefits, immigrants who are not yet green card holders?
So already 25,000 New Yorkers have stopped receiving benefits.
How that many are receiving benefits?
That they're eligible to receive. This is an 800-plus page rule that came out yesterday. We're evaluating how many of the remaining non-citizens on our caseload will stop receiving benefits because of fear, and how many may stop receiving benefits because of other concerns. But let me emphasize—
So from the numbers you gave me, ballpark would be hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers.
There's a potential impact, but I want to make one thing clear to listeners. The change that is occurring or proposed to occur is in the immigration law, not in eligibility for food stamps. And that is a very important distinction, that if you're currently legally receiving benefits, there's been no change whatsoever in eligibility for benefits. What there is great fear that your continued receipt of these benefits will affect your family,
right,
in terms of the ability for them to get a green card and move forward.
But then Commissioner Mustafi, to Commissioner Banks's point, can you in good faith advise people who are here legally and receiving benefits and who think they will want to apply for a green card to continue to receive those benefits because of the risk under the new rules, assuming they're not struck down in court, of being denied and therefore eventually sent back?
I think the key thing here is what you just said. First off, this doesn't actually take effect until October 15th. So that's hugely important. Secondly, we are committed to fighting this with everything we have.
And New York State Attorney General Letitia James, I'll repeat that fact from the intro, has already announced that she will go to court to try to get this blocked.
And New York City will be partnering with the AG's office. We will be a part of that legal challenge. We will be supporting and ensuring that the interests of New Yorkers, the welfare of New Yorkers, are center to explaining why there would be such great harm here. And I think on top of that, this is complicated. Immigration law is super complicated. I practiced immigration law for a very, very long time, and I'm going to be a lawyer here and say there are so many people who, even if this were to ever go into effect, which we hope it won't, would be excluded. Asylees, refugees, crime victims, humanitarian petitions, people who are legal permanent residents applying to be U.S. citizens, this wouldn't apply to.
Because they are considered to have special circumstances. If you come here as a refugee, if you come here and you get asylum, then it's because of an emergency in your country of origin, and okay, you don't have to meet the same standard, says the Trump administration, of, quote, self-sufficiency.
I wouldn't give the credit to the Trump administration. They were statutorily barred from including these populations. So let's be clear with that. But I would say, importantly, we are making resources available to New Yorkers. You can call 311. You can say Action NYC. Get good legal advice. Don't make a decision to forego what your family needs, food, health, or other benefits, before getting that counsel, because this is complicated. It may not apply to you. It likely doesn't apply to you, but get that good legal advice before making any decisions. And remember, nothing goes into effect until October 15th, and we're fighting this.
Peter in Queens, you're on WNYC. Peter, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Well, what really struck me as so made me so angry when I heard about this, I realized that if these rules had been in effect, my mother would have been prevented from coming to the United States.
You want to tell her story a little bit?
A little bit, yes, thank you. She was born in rural Northern Ireland, very poor at the time. She had very little education, never graduated from grade school. The family had no resources. She had no marketable skills. The only thing she had was a desire for a better life and a willingness to work hard. And what struck me is so ironic, the parallels between my mom and Trump's mom. Trump's mom was born a year after my mom. Mary McLeod was born in rural Scotland, very little education, no resources, just a willingness to work hard and seek out a better life. They came to New York about the same year. They both had no skills. They both worked as domestic servants. And it just strikes me as so heartless that if this man fought for a moment, his own mother would have been excluded. The only thing my mom had going for, and Trump's mom, was chain migration. Another thing Trump wants to do away with. They both had siblings living in New York, and that's how they were able to get here.
And I'm going to leave it there, Peter. Thank you so much for that story. And in fact, he's not the only one who thought of Trump's own parents Commissioner Banks, there's a Washington Post column yesterday that indicates that under the new rules, those being assessed for immigration in the first place and whether they're at risk of receiving public benefits in the future, well, by that standard, probably Mr. Fred Drumpf, what was the name, Drumpf, before he changed it, would have been excluded.
I think that's true. I think that one of the most significant impacts of the change, again, in the immigration law is going to be on family-based immigration. And we have a longstanding tradition in this country of making sure that families are able to come to this country, thrive in this country, and move forward with their lives. And this is really aimed at stopping that.
So this is another means for them to go after what they call chain migration. Some people come here based on their, quote, merit, and then they can bring family members in, and that's exactly the kind of thing that they've been trying to restrict in the first place. This is a means to that end.
Right, with essentially a wealth test.
Yeah, and I would add to that to also say that, you know, it's so critically important to actually emphasize the contributions that immigrants make, and actually that it is families and second-generation immigrants that actually have the greatest contributions to our economy, to our societies. We see actually even greater than native-born U.S. citizens. Immigrants contributed $195 billion to our city's GDP last year. Half of our small businesses are owned by immigrants. Immigrants are paying taxes. It is a completely false narrative to say in any way, shape, or form that allowing people to live their best lives, to fulfill their dreams and their opportunities somehow makes us weaker in any sense.
Anthony in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. It's funny. The commissioner just actually hinted on one of the biggest points I told your producer is that I'm a second-generation immigrant. My mother came here, and due to all the fear, it's funny, all that fear has always existed in immigrant community, that if you ever utilize any of the social services, you basically make yourself a target. We were forced to basically make do in a one-bedroom apartment for four people with very little subsistence. She had to take a job as a hospice nurse under the table. So doing jobs that most people wouldn't take, but being that we were immigrants, we were just thankful for the opportunity. Long story short, all three kids become multiple degree holders, multiple business degree holders from Ivy Leagues, and are here doing exactly what the commissioner said, which is contributing. I have a family here. My sisters have families here. We all own real property, paying taxes. And it's just hilarious to me that they would enact these rules and create these chilling effects, and it's just reminiscent of kind of how they used to institute the poll tax, which was if we make things statutorily harder for you and basically tell you you're going to be a target if you even try to utilize these things, we can effectively just stop both you and your future generations from thinking about even doing it. So just going through that and then thinking about if they're using it based on merit and people that are most presumed to be able to want to use those services. Wouldn't that exclude any of those European immigrants coming from the socialist countries in which almost everything is free? Wouldn't they be the biggest people that would perhaps utilize those services because they're more used to it versus people that don't even know that it's possible?
Hypothetical question, Commissioner Banks.
Hypothetically, anybody that needs our services to avoid hunger, who needs our services to address medical needs, who needs our services to keep a roof over their heads, is potentially at risk for this, again, wealth-based immigration policy.
My guest, the New York City Human Resources Administration Commissioner Stephen Banks, and Immigrant Affairs Commissioner Bita Mustofi, as we talk about the new rules announced by the Trump administration to make it harder to immigrate to this country in the first place or to get a green card that is permanent residency status if you have used public benefits that you're legally entitled to, like food stamps, Medicaid, or housing vouchers. Commissioner Mustofi, what are the rules for when an immigrant is eligible? Can you move here legally today and apply for food stamps tomorrow?
So no, and I think I have the resident expert in terms of the actual rules next to me. But I think, again, I noted earlier, there was welfare reform in the late 90s that many of us don't necessarily agree with, but perhaps Trump administration supporters do, that delineated very clearly who is eligible for what and when. And some of the benefits had a five-year delay in terms of when you're eligible actually to use them. And what is so acutely inherent about the political nature of the decision to do this right now is that it is feeding in a rhetoric to a base that, frankly, they're not actually telling the truth to, right? They're not actually explaining who is eligible for something when. Mm-hmm. They're not actually explaining that this is actually people who are legally residing, right? It's not about undocumented immigrants. It doesn't fix the immigration system that they're targeting.
But Commissioner Banks, since your agency does administer the benefits, what are the rules for when an immigrant is eligible? Commissioner Mostofi just cited some of them.
So, again, broad brush.
Broad brush.
Cash assistance, you're not eligible for, except under very limited circumstances. Medicaid, eligible for certain kinds of services under the New York State Constitution. And food stamps, again,
it's
a waiting period.
Right
no,
away?
I think, again, I want to emphasize something that Commissioner Mostofi said. The federal law from the 90s has categorical limitations on who can get benefits and time limits on when you can get benefits. So the mythology that people are coming directly to the country and getting public benefits regardless of their immigration status is simply not true.
Got it. But what is true with respect to who is
eligible? So you got a 5-year waiting period in order to get food stamps.
5 years for food stamps.
Correct.
Less for Medicaid in New York.
Less for Medicaid in New York under the various circumstances that you could be eligible for. There's a term called a person residing under color of state law. There's been lots of litigation in New York that makes Medicaid benefits available because we believe in public health here in New York State, contrary to the Trump administration.
So this is like what's come up in the Democratic primary debates. Would you include...
Exactly.
All well, that question is undocumented immigrants. Maybe even undocumented immigrants in New York are eligible for Medicaid, or are they not?
Under emergency circumstances, if there's someone's living here under a color of law, there is an eligibility for emergency benefits, regardless of immigration status. Again, because we believe in public health, that if we take care of someone who's undocumented, it's public health. It's helping all of our public health.
But Commissioner Mostofi, defend your position on the issue in this respect, because the Trump people will say, this is basic social contract. We take in however many legal immigrants a year. Millions more are waiting their turn. Why shouldn't a country that allows people to come here as regular immigrants, because this, again, not about refugees or for asylum, just regular immigration, why shouldn't a country prefer or require those who can be expected to support themselves?
You know, I think a few things to be said about this. I think... the whole attack on family-based migration is a false narrative. So much of actually what ends up happening is, you know, maybe you have an elderly parent that actually comes and does your childcare, right? You're not calculating the money that you would need to be as an individual spending to do the childcare when you actually have been able to have your parent come. And
you mean and that person would be eligible for benefits because they're not working outside the home?
No. I'm saying because... The calculus in terms of what the economic output of that individual is, is actually not taken into consideration here. And the way that the rule has traditionally been applied is I can have a sponsor, right? If I am petitioning for my mother or my grandmother, I can sponsor them and say I will support them. And essentially what they're trying to do is rewrite our laws in a way that radically departs from the reality of how people live and how families support one another and how our economy grows because of that and how we're able to give back because of that. And the complete somehow that this helps support the social safety net, that is not actually, one, the values of what our country is and what it's about. These are short-term benefits that people utilize. Last time we were on your show, a caller said, I just left a domestic violence situation. I've never had to have food stamps before. I need them right now. In what society, a moral one, a rich one, would we deny that person the access to that benefit?
Here is a listener in New Jersey calling anonymously, and I'm sure out of fear under the circumstances, and we respect that. Hi, whoever you are, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes. I got a question. My wife overstayed her visa. She didn't come illegally. Now she become an illegal because she's overstayed her visa. So we have a baby in January of last year. We did receive child care services from the state, which is a week and also health care for the baby. WIC is a program to help food for the baby only.
Right, WIC, WIC, Women and Infants, Infants and Children, yes.
Yeah, yes. But I just want to know, by us receiving that, because on March of this year, I put her paper in for her, because I'm a U.S. citizen. A baby girl, also a U.S. citizen. My question is, will that affect us with that new policy that the devil just put in? Will that affect us certain way because we receive those stuff for our baby girl, not for us?
Right, just even for the children. And I fear the answer is yes, Commissioner.
It is not.
It is
I'm
not.
I correct you very strongly. So the first thing to note is that, again, effective date of this rule is October 15th. So applications postmarked after that date will be the ones for which this will apply more broadly. And we are fighting this. We are litigating this, challenging this in court, as are others. So hopefully that is actually not even true.
Although, secondly, I'm seeing in the Washington Post that the green cards and citizenship might be more likely under these new rules to be denied to legal immigrants who have ever used the public benefit, such as, and the examples they give are Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, or food stamps. So that word children was a red flag in my mind.
So WIC is not included. WIC is explicitly excluded, which is important to note. In fact, I don't actually know that that Washington Post article is correct.
Accurate in that respect.
But I would add, on top of that, again, it's complicated.
So WIC
get
is excluded.
Legal advice.
That's important to make even more emphasized, if that's true.
Could I also just emphasize two things for anyone listening to this? Here in New York, we're really trying to make sure people understand three things. First, as Commissioner Mostafi said, the effective date is 60 days from now. So someone that's already in the process should continue with the process. But more importantly, nothing's changed in New York City in terms of eligibility for any of these benefits. There is a change coming with respect to immigration law. And the second thing we would encourage anybody in New York City, if you have any doubt, don't disenroll like the 25,000 people that disenrolled from food stamps. Call 311 and ask for Action NYC. We're funding lawyers to give people expert advice on a more than 800-page document that was released yesterday. And third and most importantly, as the mayor said, along with the Attorney General, we're going to see the Trump administration in court. And so there's three things we're doing, three things we encourage people to focus on. This is a draconian rule, but we also have to look at these three important components. Call if you need help. It's not in effect yet. We're going to fight it in court.
As this would apply to immigration applicants, according to the same Washington Post column by Paul Waldman, this is how draconian this is and how broad-based. This says the new rule stands to have its most dramatic impact on the numbers and demographics of those permitted to immigrate to the United States through a vast array of new criteria to assess whether an individual is likely to someday become a public charge. So again, this is even just the potential to receive benefits in the future. And it says factors that can count against a green card applicant include having a medical condition that will interfere with work or school, not having enough money to cover any reasonably foreseeable medical costs related to such a medical condition, that's in the language, having financial liabilities, even if the individual has not actually received a benefit, having a low credit score, the absence of private health insurance is another criteria that could be included to exclude, the absence of a college degree, not having the English language skills sufficient to enter the job market, as the wording goes, or having a sponsor who is, quote, unlikely to provide financial support. So we're getting very close to give me your tired, you're poor, you can't be the tired, you can't be tired standard. They would deny green cards to law-abiding immigrants because they're sick or seen at a higher risk of not being paid, able to pay their medical bills if they are sick.
I think my grandparents who came over after the pogroms of 1905 in Eastern Europe would not have met many of those standards.
And they did at that time exclude people with certain medical conditions.
They did at that time. Obviously, there's a human cost here, but I want to also emphasize the cost to us as a city. Those 25,000 people that have foregone benefits, food stamp benefits, to which they're entitled because of the fear created by the Trump administration, that's $40 million in foregone federal food stamp benefits and a total economic impact on New York City of $72 million because there's a multiplier for every dollar of federal food stamps in terms of local economic activity. There'll be an impact on our Health and Hospitals Corporation in terms of the ability to pay for healthcare costs that previously people would have been seeking medical coverage from Medicaid. But the fear is out there. That's why we want to say again, it's not in effect yet. Call Action NYC 311. We'll connect you for legal advice, and we'll see the Trump administration in court.
And again, to defend the policy, because I think they're targeting this one for public acceptance. Even if family separation at the border and things like that have been seen as outrages across the political spectrum, they're making the same kind of political argument that Newt Gingrich and others made with welfare reform in the 1990s, that there's a social contract question here. So, Commissioner Mustafi, if an immigrant has been here for a while and asking for permanent status, but not making it enough to not need food stamps or Medicaid or housing assistance, why is it the public's responsibility to take them on permanently as what the Trump administration calls public charges?
So I would say a few things. I would say there's always been a what they call the sort of totality of circumstances test where they consider these different factors. What they're proposing to do is to radically shift or turn it away from the ability for you to have, as I had noted previously, a family member, a sponsor, somebody that's saying, I will help support my family member, I will help support my loved one or my employee or what have you until they can stabilize and get on their feet and move forward and reach their full potential. And I think the notion that somehow we live in a society that is unable to help somebody get back on their feet, help somebody through a difficult transition, or ensure that we're supporting people so that they can see growth, so they can maybe get the degree that they need, so that they can maybe establish the kinds of skills that they need, learn additional skills to enter the workplace or workforce in a stronger way, is false. It actually doesn't further our economy. It doesn't make us stronger. Almost all stats point to the opposite, in fact. And so it's so important to remind us that this is actually not the problem.
And Commissioner Banks, just close by again telling people who may be in any of these categories that we've been talking about and confused about what to do or needing to clarify, how should they contact the city?
Call 311, ask for Action NYC. We've increased available legal services funding in this administration from $3 million a year to more than $30 million a year. Help is out there for you. Do not make a decision like the 25,000 people that have disenrolled from food stamps that were eligible for food stamps. And don't forget, we're going to go to court because we think that this is very harmful to New Yorkers, harmful to the city, and not who we are as New Yorkers.
Stephen Banks is commissioner of New York City's Department of Social Services. Bita Mustafi is commissioner of the Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, stay with us.